Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 17th of May. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be tuning in to the broadcast. It really means a lot that you would make that determination to tune in and be ready to hear, and to receive what it is that the Lord has for you, because I'm sure the Lord has something for you tonight. And I always think of this, we have called this program The Miracle Man ever since we launched it back in 2017. And honestly, I continue to believe God for your miracle, that you would receive that miracle that you are believing God for. And I'm a firm believer that he can do miracles, because I've seen them in my life, and I know that he can do them for you. Okay. And what you have to do is have faith in God, and believe that he will do what he said in his word. It's that trust system, being able to trust him. And being able to know that he will do what he said for us, because as we have read before on this program, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mm-hmm. And if you tune into this program, you're evidence.
Yeah.
You really are evidence. You're evidence that this stuff works. If you've been serving God for a long time and have truly been paying attention to it, and like not just been one of those, hunky-dory, in one day, out the other Christians, like where you say, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ha! Because there's these Christians that are like that.
Yes.
Like that.
Like lukewarm.
Like that lukewarm. But the truth is, it's that, when you continue to believe God and believe that he will do what he said in his word, when you're believing for a miracle, obviously, if you're wanting a miracle, you have to be able to believe for it.
Yes.
You have to be able to believe and have that confidence in him that he will do it. Mm-hmm. And not just say, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. If you're going to sit there and think maybe, don't plan on receiving it.
Right.
Don't plan on staying right where you are.
Yes.
And plan on being postponed.
Yep.
Plan on staying bound. But if you can believe in God and understand that when he says something, he means it, and that when he says his will for you, that he has a plan for you.
Yeah.
That if you trust and obey, that means you have to trust him. Yeah. And it's harder to obey something you don't trust.
Yes, it is.
Because you have to be able to trust what he says and not be loaded up on, all filled up on doubt and unbelief, and then loaded up on fear food.
Yeah. Fear, this, not fair.
I said fear food, not fair food. Yeah. Fear food.
Yeah.
Clarify. To clarify, folks, if I made some of you folk who do the food at these fairs or these carnivals, if I made some of you upset, you take that up with me later, because I'm not fear food, not fair food.
Yes.
Because you're like, what? You want to hurt my business? No.
That's not what it is at all.
That's not what it is at all. It's fear, not fair. Mm-hmm. And some of you listeners, I actually know someone who is afraid of heights, and I wish would not be afraid of heights, because I think this person has roller coasters to ride that they're supposed to ride, and they've been afraid of them. Mm-hmm. I know I tease her about it, but nonetheless.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Nope, you don't.
Nope.
No, you don't.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Moving on.
You're not being funny. I was just
yes, you
this.
Are.
No idea. But nonetheless, you know, that aside, don't feed yourself doubt. Don't be feeding yourself unbelief, fear. Because that kind of stuff will hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be postponing God's plan. Just like how if you find yourself in sin, oh, that'll hurt you. If you find yourself all fearful, that won't be helping you either. And one time I heard Dr. Kenneth Copeland preach that worry is in fact, you know, excessive worry is in fact a sin. Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't. What was the context of that?
I forget exactly, but I remember I heard him say it. I'm not going to get any deeper into it because I don't remember all that necessarily. It was like over 20 years ago, but
it stuck with you.
It stuck with me, and so, but nonetheless, you don't want to get into all this excessive worry. Sometimes that can be how you get into like severe anxiety and then depression, oppression, and all that kind of stuff that is really not good.
Mm-hmm.
So some of your mental problems could be because of worry. When you worry all the time, that can lead to problems. That stress and worry, that can lead to all kinds of health problems. And I'm serious.
It absolutely can. It absolutely can.
And I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not going to.
My therapist actually taught me about this. And it's something I learned early in my relationship with her. And I've been seeing her for about 3 years now. And she said that when you're stressed, your body is putting out a lot of the hormone called cortisol. And cortisol is the stress hormone. But the human heart is not meant to be working as hard as it is when cortisol is in the bloodstream. And so people who have anxiety experience higher levels of cortisol than people who don't. But they also experience higher levels of heart issues because of their high stress life. So you're absolutely right. The science has proven it. It's not just a spiritual thing.
Yeah. And it will ruin things, and it'll. But ultimately, you got to give that stuff to God. Ultimately, and sometimes there can be spirits behind it. We always say God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And also, whatever that miracle is that you believe in for, obviously, God knows what it is before you say it. But nonetheless, he still wants to hear you calling it out, what it is that you are believing for him to do for you. Like, example, like, I'm not just saying it because it might or might not be me, but I'm saying this because you know, in the New Testament, Jesus asked this man who's blind, what do you want me to do for you? And then he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. That because, of course, God knew, but he wanted to hear,
yeah,
you know, it being spoken. And even if you don't, even if some, and sometimes it's okay when you don't say it out loud and you just say it in your heart, you say it in your spirit.
Yeah.
It,
but there's power,
but
in
there's power
putting
in
those
you saying
words
it out loud
around you, yeah.
Yep, and sometimes it's also good to just, you know, say them, you know, in your brain or say them through your heart. You know, you're not your blood pumper, your spiritual heart.
Yes.
Because that's different, because your blood pumper will not talk to God. It won't.
No, your body cannot.
Your body can't.
Well, but God can still move in your body.
He'll do things in your body. But,
oh, yeah.
But your body,
the physical muscle
your
isn't
physical
what we're
body
talking about.
Cannot talk to God and say, Lord, I'm believing for my healing. You know, you look swell when you speak it,
yes.
But you know, but other than that, it'll be your spiritual heart.
Yeah.
It'll be your spiritual heart. It'll be your soul saying it. It will not be your natural heart saying it. It will not be your natural eyes saying it either.
No.
The only thing that'll be coming from is from your mouth.
Right.
When you make that prayer and that petition unto God, and when you keep saying it and saying it and saying it, if you keep doing it, it's not like oh, our God is deaf and he doesn't know. No, he knows, but he likes to see us proclaiming, believing, and proclaiming that we'll receive.
I don't think that I have met a person, a human being yet, that doesn't like to hear nice things about themselves.
Right.
Do you like to hear nice things about yourself?
I do.
It makes sense. I bet you that's one of the qualities that God gave humans when he was creating us. Because it's one of his qualities as well.
Yes, is that he loves to be,
yes,
worshipped and praised. And obviously to him, it has nothing to do with the self-gratification or
no,
anything like that.
No. He just loves to be loved by his children.
It's about being loved by his children. It's not about some kind of big ego, some kind of big, you know.
No.
But nonetheless, I think of another verse, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And by knock, I don't mean like the old saying, knock on wood.
Right.
That knock on wood and hope that doesn't happen. And furthermore, I'm not sure that that always works either.
Yeah, it's just a superstition.
That doesn't exactly always work by any means.
Exactly.
Like next time you're knocking wood, don't knock on wood, pray.
Exactly.
Okay.
The only wood you should be knocking on is the cross. The
wood
of the cross.
You can knock on that wood, but
you better be on your knees
wood
too.
You better be on your knees when you're doing it and not just sit there knocking on wood.
Yes.
Because all that knock on wood is only a superstition. And some people might say, I don't got time for that.
Nope.
Some people do, but I'd much rather not.
Yeah.
Because it makes more sense, you know, to talk to God, give it to God, than just knock on wood and hope that a certain thing doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So these superstition type things, I don't do that. I trust in God. And so that's just how I do it. That's part of why I haven't given up on God through these years, even though I continue to believe, you know, for my eyesight to be restored. And I know it's been, you know, a little over 33 years, but at the same time, I haven't given up on him. And obviously I can't remember in my mind what it was like seeing, because I could only see for the first 3 months.
Right.
So it's not like it's something that I can remember, but at the same time, it doesn't make me any less excited just because I can't remember.
Right.
So it doesn't diminish it in any way, shape, or form. And I just continue to believe and continue to trust and I just keep on keeping on.
Yes.
That's what I do. I keep on keeping on.
Yep.
And
believe without ceasing.
The truth is that's what we should be doing anyway. That really is what we should be doing anyways, because
sounds like you're giving your lesson before your housekeeping tonight.
I'm just giving, you know, some things that are kind of on my heart.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's just great to share what's on your heart.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm kind of explaining, you know. So we called this program The Miracle Man when we launched it because, you know, I had seen God do miracles in my life, not only because miracles were done in my life, but because it's a way for you listeners to know that there is a God that does miracles.
Yes.
That there is a true God that does miracles, and that the real miracle worker is not just a little play that might have been on Broadway or something.
Right.
There's a little program type thing called The Miracle Worker. Have you heard of that thing?
I have not, no.
But there is such a thing.
Okay.
And it ultimately, that's not what this is about.
Right.
That's not what this is about. Because the true Jesus does miracles. And I haven't seen The Miracle Worker necessarily. I don't, but you know, it's about Jesus. That's awesome. But ultimately, you know, it might not necessarily tell you, you know, that you have to be able to have faith in, you know, to know Jesus in order to believe in the miracles, in the sense that we truly believe in miracles, not only that we believe in them, that they exist, but to know that God can do them and that he's still doing them today.
Yeah.
So that's why we're called the Miracle Man. And that it wasn't just a cool name that me and Preacher Man might have drawn out of a hat.
Right.
It wasn't
randomly generated on some AI or anything
we didn't come up with it from ChatGPT was not involved.
Nope.
In it.
Nope.
But by the way, back in 2017, probably not many people were using ChatGPT either.
I don't actually know what that is.
It's like the biggest AI out there. If you look up ChatGPT, you would understand what it is and possibly how it works. But the truth is, though, listeners, you know, whether you believe in that, whether you do the whole AI thing or not, you know, there can be good things, there can be bad things about it, and, you know, there's just, you just got to balance it out. Okay, really.
Yeah.
Housekeeping.
Yeah.
There's two things, those two house things that I always try to remind you about. Item number one is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And it really is an awesome thing. And you should go online to the website. To a certain website in order to check out the book, Rivers of Miracles, which is the story of my life. And as I've said, I've seen many different miracles happen in my life, like him healing my hands from warts, him healing me of cancer of the colon lining, him healing my immune system that when I was super little was extremely weak. And other things. I'm not going to get into everything else because I don't want to give away the book. I mean, I don't want to give everything in the book away
right.
and spoil it.
Yes.
I mean, and so the website you can go to find out information about this book is riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is www.rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, as in water, riversofmiracles.com. And you'll see, our info on there and about the author, my mom, the different things, and you'll see in there, how you can buy it, how you can buy a digital copy if you wish to do it that way. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we've done it in a way so that it's up to you how you'd want to get it. So, because we want you to have options and not just be, one way or no way.
Yeah.
So, but we do want you to get the book, in your hands or on your device or however.
Yeah.
We want you to get the book one way or the other, and hopefully you'll actually read it, because obviously to be able to understand it, you have to actually read it. And then prayerfully, when you read this book, I pray that it will increase your faith and your understanding, that God really does do miracles. And guess what? You get two testimonies for the price of one. It's a 2-for-1 deal, because you also get part of my mom's testimony in there. That's a really cool thing, because there's things in there about my mother, like I can only imagine right now if my mom had not went in there to open door on Halloween night of 1988. By that point, she was pregnant for me. She didn't know it yet, because October the 31st versus July 20th. So that means the pregnancy would have started like about a week and a couple of days prior.
Right.
And so. I'm so glad that she got in there, because what if she never had and never had that chance to, repent before God, because she had been brought up in a Wesleyan church. But
really?
Then at the age of like 17, 18, she abandoned, basically totally abandoned the church. And her father had been a pastor.
Uh-huh. And you're giving it away.
That's all.
And that's all you get, folks. Buy the book.
Go ahead and buy the book. But now, she gave her life to Jesus, and the rest is history.
You're giving away the story, man.
I'm not gonna say anything more about it. But go online to the website riversofmiracles.com, and I gave away more than I wish I did, but sometimes you just got things on your heart and you feel like you got to share them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's
conviction.
Just what happens. You just feel like convicted, and then you feel like, I feel like I'm supposed to tell this.
Yes, absolutely.
When you feel that. When you feel that and you feel like you're supposed to, then what you do is just obey rather than try to sit there and try to fight it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's why I was kind of telling you a little more than what I otherwise might about it. Go online to the website. Let that book be a blessing to you. Because I always pray that those who read it get blessed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it has a happy ending, not a sad ending.
Yeah,
it has a happy ending, as good things like that should.
Absolutely.
So that's the book. The other thing I want to remind you about is about The Miracle Man, going online, paypal.com to sow your seed to the Miracle Man program. And when you sow your seed to the program, you know, it helps us. It helps us to reach people, more and more people. Believe in God for this thing to reach more and more people. Part of that involves, you know, more and more people tuning into the program. And you, the listener, telling other prospective listeners how to be a part of the program, how they can tune in to this program. So you guys are to be like the mouthpiece. So word of mouth goes a long way.
Yes.
In this case, you know, word of mouth really does, and it helps when we have word of mouth. And because I believe in God for more and more people to tune into this program, because guess what? It's not just about some rating thing. More people tuning in means chances for more salvations.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, guess what? The only thing, guess what you can take to heaven with you? People.
Your soul.
And cars. And other, you cannot take your car with you to heaven.
Nope.
You can, oh, I'm sorry to say this, but you can't take your donuts with you to heaven.
Oh, no.
You can't. You can't take them all with you. You can't take.
No, all you get is your soul.
Yeah, all you get is your soul. I'm not saying there won't be that other stuff in there. There better be that stuff up there. I think there will be, so I'm not worried about it. And you know.
Yes, but we want you to sow the seed.
We do want you to sow
the seed. Heaven to be a party.
Because we want heaven to be a party.
And you're invited.
And you're invited, you know. And I'm not saying that you will not go to heaven just because you didn't. So see,
yeah.
I am saying, you know, that we're believing God for more and more people to find out about this program and to tune into this program. And,
amen.
And for, you know, for God to open up doors for it. And
yes.
So you sow your seed, you know, when you sow your seed, you can be a part of that.
Absolutely.
So you go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you want to type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. There's something I want you to keep, two things, real quick things about that I want you to keep in mind. Number one, you know, as you're typing, number one is the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla. Both of those are capitalized. Related to that, number two, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So it's capital R, Y-V-E-R-S, and then the space, and then the S, capital S, H-U-K-L-A.
Okay.
Just so you understand how it works. It's that way, and also it can help you get that seed to where we're believing for it to go. And by the way, Natalia, if you're listening to this program, thank you so much, Natalia, from Roatan, Honduras. And, of course, I love you. I appreciate you. And it means a lot when you sow that seed.
Sure.
And when you sow that seed, I don't use it to fatten up my pocket or anything like that.
No.
I don't do that. We use it for the work of God. And you know, as any good ministry should, and it should. It's totally moral. It's totally honest.
Yep, it's invested right in the kingdom.
It goes straight to the kingdom, and because I'm very honest about it, and you know, should be a man of integrity, because I believe integrity is important. So that's what I do. You want to do it some other way? You know, get your own show, get your own whatever, and do.
Yeah.
But I don't do that, because I just, you know, keep it, you know, the way God would want to do it.
Yeah.
And so,
I
and
do
the
believe.
Verse that I want to give you is, therefore, my God is able to make all sufficiency abound to every good work. Not one, and not two, not three, four, five, or six. No, every good work.
Every.
And so we have an interview here with us. That shall be joining in a few moments. It'll be rather quick before we do couple songs and then get into the word of God. Because
I have a question for you, Rivers, Mr. Miracle Man.
What is it?
Would you like to announce your songs before you sing and give your listeners maybe a chance to follow along with the lyrics? Listen along?
It's going to be How Great Is Our God and Miracle Worker. How great is our God, and also Waymaker.
Okay.
That's what it's going to end up.
Perfect.
It's going to end up in those two.
Perfect.
And just so you guys can kind of have an idea of what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And how it's going to go. And so we'll just go from there, and then we'll have the interview, and then we'll open up. We'll sing a couple songs, and we'll pray and get into the word of the Lord and go from there. Because we always deal with the scriptures when I do the Miracle Man program, even if we don't necessarily open it for whatever reason. We always at least deal with scripture.
Yeah.
We always do. I do not allow myself to have a show and never deal with the scripture. I don't do that.
Right.
I wanted to ask you a few quick questions. So this is my mom, Julie Shukla. Mom, what initially influenced you to write the book, Rivers of Miracles?
It was really cool, Rivers. What happened is that you had testified at a restaurant. It was your father's birthday. And you said, I would like to talk about my dad for a minute. And there was probably 12 people at our table. And a table that was across the restaurant heard you talk about your dad. And this lady over there came over and approached us, very tearful, and she said, I have never heard anyone give any other person as much recognition, as much credit, and as much honor as this special needs boy just gave his father. And so she started talking to us that day, and she said, you have to write the testimony of River Shukla. You have to write this. And so a couple of days later, she called me and said, put all of River's testimony on audio. And she said, I feel like you're too busy, and you will never do that if I don't come over to your house and sit with you and help you to do it. And I mean, Rivers, I owned a medical school and I was very busy. I was working 60 hours a week and, managing a lot of other things. And so it was an awful lot going on in our life. And she was right. I would have never done it if she wouldn't have told me. But as soon as I did that recordings and I had it all done, Rivers,
yeah,
it was like, I got to write it down. And so I did. I started writing. I sold the company, the medical school, and Ross Medical Schools bought me out. And that was a great thing. And then we moved from Midland area to Detroit area.
And then, of course, everything else goes, and I wrote the book. And you wrote the book at the direction of, ultimately, God led you to write the book.
Oh, absolutely. He absolutely led me to write the book. And Rivers,
Do you feel like God put that lady right there?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, Rivers.
And he meant for her to hear me say what I had to say
about your dad. Yes, yes.
And that's one of those things that, you know, at the moment that we testify, the minute we minister to somebody, we might not know the impact that we're having. We might not know.
That's so true, Rivers.
And we might think, oh, you know, we're just saying nice things about our father because it's his birthday. And we're just being nice and honorable to him and that, but then to realize that there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Yes.
Because of that, there's other souls, there's people that are reading it that some of which I pray give their soul to Jesus. And when we might not realize that we're ministering, even if when we just say something, like when I was about my dad.
Yes. Yes.
Am I not realizing that in a way that can be opening the door to doors that are to be opened, I mean. And so obviously God has used, you know, for you to write that book. And I understand that you are, tell your listeners about this thing about, you know, when my sight is manifest, that you're really working on, you know, we're working on making that into a movie.
Because
I heard
you
say something about that.
A lot of people have read your book and said, I felt like I was watching a movie, or they'd say, you know, with the end of this, Julie, has to be a movie. See, people live, God is God. Man is not God. We saw so many miracles. With that book is a line upon line upon line upon line. The only way we survived was Jesus Christ. The only way you lived with is Jesus. And I could tell you
the only way we made it
miracle after miracle after miracle of how Jesus Christ intervened. And I would like to tell you one of those real quick, and then if you want me to tell another one, I will. But I think it was the greatest miracle was that the doctors said there was no way for you to thrive. Like, you were 6 weeks old, you did not weigh 5 pounds, you were born at 8'7", and your body was gray. You had been in the hospital. Dr. Barclay came in and looked at you and said, get this baby out of this hospital into the church, and we need to dedicate him. And Rivers, people don't understand the omnipotency, the power, you can't make God do anything. Rivers, I was single, and your dad had left before you were ever born.
Yep.
And my family wasn't there with us, but Rivers, when I walked you down the altar or down the aisle that day to be dedicated, all the people that were there with us was like three rows of people, and they were all the people from the Open Door Ministries. They were street people. And they came to watch you get dedicated. And Rivers,
wow.
You know, at that time you were deaf, and your body had no immunity, no fight. They called it failure to thrive. You just laid there. And they didn't know what to do with you in the hospital except for to monitor you and try to get you to gain weight and everything else. But Riv, when the prophet of God, when Dr. Barclay laid hands on you, life came into you.
Yes.
Other
all
because
times, of a prophet of God.
All because of a prophet of God. And we ask him to.
Yes.
We just ask. Everything we've asked God to do for us, Rivers, he hasn't done. He doesn't have to. He's God. We don't have to understand. We just walk in faith. And I think it's very hard for people to understand. Faith means I trust you no matter what. It's how it is.
That is why I harp on this all the time on this program.
Yeah. You do an excellent job.
Yeah, it's absolutely not harping at all.
It's not harping
in a negative
way. I
don't harp on it
way.
Like to be mean, but
no.
I want to get it. I want people to get it.
You're passionate about
I'm
it. You're
passionate.
Adamant.
I'm sorry. I don't mean like harping. What I totally mean though is that I'm making sure that people get a chance to hear that, you know, that faith you have to be able to trust in him and know and have it in your heart and that God was doing things even when I was too little to understand what this whole trust in the Lord, what's it mean? Because when we're just getting dedicated and I'm super little and I can't hear, how am I going to know what trust in the Lord means? How?
Right.
God's the only way.
I used to look at you, Rivers, and think, my, why is it that God just keeps doing miracles in Rivers' life when it's going to be a lot of years before Rivers can do anything for God?
Right.
And then I look at your life now, Rivers, and I go, oh, Rivers is doing a lot for God.
Oh, yeah.
Never enough for God. But, yeah, it's commendable. Rivers, may I ask you a quick question? Do you usually do your interviews for, like, 30 minutes? Is that what I should be keeping this to?
Well, like 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Okay.
I try to do 15 minutes because I'm still going to do my songs and then, get into the, you know, majestic, life-adjusting Word of God. Because like I said before, we always deal with the scriptures on my show, even if we don't teach. Even if we don't teach, we at least refer to scripture.
Right.
And I am very passionate about it. I think it's important because, you know, we want people to realize what is that when we call it a miracle man, that obviously it's focused on, you know, God and the things of God. Like a song that I've sang on the show before, including last night, Jesus at the Center.
Yes.
And it really is, you know, and the truth is something doesn't always have to be new and a fad, you know, and fatty, like, oh, it's a fad of what's in the church right now. To be doesn't always have to be new to be God. And we know the Word of God never becomes old. Like, it doesn't go, like, it didn't go, oh, this book of the Bible is too old, throw it out.
Yes.
Because the truth is, the Word of God works. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Obviously, we've heard things, you know, and we've seen it in the book about you going in there, Halloween night, 1988, and I wonder what even led you to go into the open door on that night that you did. Who had recommended you to it?
Oh, Rivers, I actually went there to meet up with friends. I went there with your dad, and we were going to meet other friends, and they didn't show up. And so we went inside It was kind of cold out. We went inside to get a free meal.
Yeah.
And
it's cold out because, you know, Halloween in Michigan usually it is.
Yes. And then when we got in there and we ate, then they asked us if they could talk to, if we would come and sit down in this little church service they were going to have. And so we did. We sat down. And they told me that, they asked me if I wanted to be free from drugs. And I said, yes. And they said, do you know that God is powerful enough to deliver you? And I said, no, I don't think God is powerful enough, because I've went to church most of my life, and I've cried out to God to be delivered, and I haven't been delivered. And they said, well, if you will pray tonight, you will be delivered tonight.
So about that, that was another thing you had to be delivered from. You had to be delivered from that doubt.
Yes, that's true.
So you not only had to be delivered from tobacco use, from drug use, from alcohol use, you also had to repent and be delivered from your doubt and your lack of faith, your lack of trust in God. And just think, had you just decided, oh, they didn't show up, I'm going to leave. It doesn't seem to me like you might have just, you know, walked it off, and who knows, you might have never had that opportunity to get that stuff right with God.
Yes.
And so that was so great that you did that, that you felt something. Obviously, you might have not known whether it was God or not, but thankfully you sat in there. You sat in there and let them talk to you.
And, you know,
one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another.
Yes. And that night, it had been 11 years that I had not went to church. I watched all my family, you know, serving God and doing great things and having this great life. And I was single. I had received a master's degree, though. But I wasn't very happy because I was very much addicted to drugs, and I did not know how to break that addiction. It was bigger than me.
God was bigger than those drugs.
He was. And Rivers, I'm going to tell you, I prayed, I asked Jesus into my heart. I went home to my apartment, and I cried most of the night out of the joy of feeling real emotions that weren't drug-induced, because I was a speed addict. That means I had so much energy that the only way for me to calm down at night was for me to drink alcohol until I passed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like my whole life was about drugs and alcohol. And that's not what I wanted, but it's what had a hold on me.
And God is bigger than all that.
God is bigger than all of that. God is bigger than all of that. And, Riv, you know...
And you would... Not only am I nothing without God, you know, you know, not only would I be dead without God, I have a good feeling that you wouldn't have made it.
I would have died too.
You would have died of either a drug overdose or of alcohol abuse or from your tobacco.
Yeah.
You would have died from one of those three things.
Probably not the tobacco as fast as the drugs. And we did stupid stuff all the time. We did absolutely people on drugs do stupid stuff. I mean, we just did. I want to say that I cried out to God. Even though I was still using drugs, I was crying out to God. I was crying out to God. I was crying out to God. For the sake of time, I wish I could tell you this like really, really fast, and I'm going to tell you as fast as I know how. So a couple of years ago, like a year and a half ago now, I was at Planet Fitness working out on the machines, and I jumped on a machine to work out, and it stunk absolutely horrible. And I saw the man get off of it in front of me, and, you know, he did not look clean, and and it wasn't the first time I had seen him there. And so I got angry. I got on the machine, and it's like grimy, it's slimy, it's filthy, it stinks, it's disgusting. And so I went, God, this is horrible. This low-life pig, I can't believe this guy got on this machine. And I started grumbling about that man. And all of a sudden, I just stopped. And I felt the presence of God. So a little bit later, you know, I get off the machine, that machine, and I think I even washed it for the next person. And I went through my workout. And then I got back back where, you know, they have the massage chairs. And I'm sitting in there, yeah. So I'm sitting in there, and I started in again. I said, I can't believe that somebody would get on a machine and leave, you know, filth behind them. And Riv, the Spirit of God came to me. And he said, you were so, such a mess. I said, no. It was like, not me. And Riv, God showed me a picture of me in my own vomit, laying on the floor. And he and the Spirit of God said, Julie, I remember you crying out to me when your own vomit, laying on the floor in a house of people that you did not even know. And you had never been there before. But you called out to me and I answered you. And I got you out of that place safe. Rivers, we have to love people. Second of all, we can never forget where we came from. And we have to love. You know, we look at drug addicts and we look at alcoholics and a lot of times we treat them like it's your choice. If you want to live like that, you can. Sometimes people don't understand addiction. Sometimes we don't understand the bondage, the hopelessness, you know, we don't know any other way of living. We don't know how to face life without drugs. We don't, you know, I mean, I remember standing there looking around going, what is all this? Riv, there's people that smoke so much marijuana every day, all day long, and some of the doctors are saying that they live in a clouded world of reality because, you know, they don't know how to face life anymore because they're afraid. A lot of people, Riv, they're afraid. And we're supposed to love people. We have to love people. Because Jesus Christ died for them and loved them. And
that does not mean we have to love their lifestyle.
We don't love their lifestyle. Right. But, Riv, sometimes I'm going to say this, and I don't even know if you will agree with me, son. But sometimes if I don't know their lifestyle and I don't know the warfare that they fight, I cannot love them from a distance because the distance is so great they don't feel my love. I have to get close enough to them to love them. Not to make them my best friend. Not to make them, you know, my everyday, all day long buddy, but to tell somebody Jesus loves them is great, but to show them that I am all I, all my life is, all my life is worth is how well am I doing with all that Jesus Christ did for me? Because without Jesus, I wouldn't have a life, and I wouldn't have a son, and I wouldn't have your brother either, and I wouldn't have, because Rivers, everything
you would
have,
let alone Jesus.
That's right. And so I think we have a lot to learn about the love of Jesus Christ.
We do.
And looking at people and smiling, and knowing when they're filthy, when they're clean, when they're afraid, when they're high, when they're mean, you know, try to understand that we all, a lot of us acted like that before Jesus. And sometimes people are taking drugs just because they're afraid. They're so afraid of life that they don't know how to handle life any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can show them that God is good.
Show them God's love.
Show them God's love and his compassion.
Because he loves us. He really does.
He loves us so much, Rivers.
So much beyond what we may ever realize.
Yes.
We may never realize his true love.
I think that I have exceeded my 15 minutes by 2 minutes.
Okay, but it was great. I do want to thank you. I do want to thank you, Mom/Miss Julie Shukla, for coming on the program tonight. And I pray, you know, that God bless you and God be with you. It was great having you on.
Son, I want to tell you that, first of all, I'm proud of the radio show you do. I'm proud of the man of God that you are.
Thank you.
I am very grateful that we live in the United States of America.
Yes.
And that you have caregivers and that you have a wonderful life. You have a great, safe place to live.
And that we live in a country that we're able to do this.
Yes, and that you're able to serve God with freedom and liberty.
And so many other, many other countries don't have that. You got to go do it underground.
When we go to Honduras and we go to India and we go, you know, so many places, Rivers, they don't have the same opportunities and the same privileges. It's, Rivers, the greatest thing you can do is tell people how to get to heaven. It's all that really matters.
And there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Yes. And sometimes we have to show them the difference because people sometimes can't see it.
They might not see that there's a difference other than, you know, heaven is good, hell is bad.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I do want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for coming on. You know, and it was great having you. And as I told you before, you know, I promised you listeners there was a couple songs that I would get to. I am going to get to those, as I promised you, listeners. So
did I teach you how to sing?
maybe not. But that's another thing for another day, as Pastor might say, Dr. Buckley might say, that's for another time.
Yes. All right. I love you. I will see you
next time. Yep.
Yes, sir. Good night.
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty,
Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness cries to hide, but trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, yes, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Mm-hmm. He's the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, changing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, changing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
That is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master, for being moving here in our midst. It's great to serve you, Lord. It's great to know that you are on our side, making a way when it seems like there is no other way. Thank you for that interview we had, and thank you that you could save a wretch like my mom, bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, tobacco use, and you freed her from the miry clay, set her feet upon a rock. That's what the truth is, Lord. That's what you did for all of us, whether we were in that stuff or not. Even those of us who maybe was someone like me and was born in a Christian home, but until they gave their life to you, even friends at a very young age, you saved people like us that might have been, that were a wretch. A wretch. Like once was lost, now I'm found. Or was blind, and now I see in the name of Jesus. Oh, listeners, oh man, feel like you need to do the chorus of Amazing Grace, but just, you know, just the chorus, just the first verse that we all know. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would save a wretch like me. And now I thank you, Master, for what you're doing in our midst. What you're doing in each and every one of us, for that you set us free, for what you've done, what you're going to do in each and every one of us. You know what each one of us is believing you for tonight, whether we're tuned in or, you know, however we've tuned in. Thank you, Lord, that for what you're doing in each and every one of these listeners. I might not know what they need, but you do. And I thank you that you're healing their bodies. You're healing their minds. You're making them into what they ought to be. It took you just a week to make the moon, stars, sun, earth, Jupiter, Mars. And I thank you, Master, for what you're doing in us in the name of Jesus. And now I thank you for this time in the Word tonight, that these people have ears ready to hear, minds ready to understand, and that they will receive what it is that you have for them in Jesus' matchless name. And now I make my confession. I pray that sponsors and partners come to this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this great radio program, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to go with me in your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. Book of James, chapter 1. And I want to encourage you, please. You know, if you got your Bible with you, open it up and study. Don't just sit there and be a part. Don't just sit there and be all spectate-y, and, you know, and just decide you're going to be a spectator. I'm going to start with verse 2. James 1, going to start with verse number 2. Hallelujah. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. When you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. When your faith, when your faith is tested, you develop perseverance. Faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and must not doubt, because he who doubts is like a raven of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. What the word says about a double-minded man is this. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The brother in humble circumstance ought to take pride in his high position. One who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. And for the sun rises with scorching heat and without the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down by the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth. That is the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is in so prevalent point, except the word planted in you. which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight line on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then they go, and so it talks about, you know, our faith is, you know, it's good when our faith is tested. That doesn't mean we might not like being tested. We might not like being tested, but sometimes you just, you know, you go through, you know, trials. And the truth is, if we live on this earth, we're going to face some stuff. We're going to face some stuff if we live on this earth. That's a matter of fact. But, you know, when we have God on our side, it goes like what my mom said. My mom said on this program tonight, she literally said, you know, just keep on keeping on. And she said, you know, without God, we're nothing. And I know this. I honestly believe this. If it weren't for God, I would have died. If it weren't for God, I would have died. I honestly would have died one way or another, you know, because of the diagnoses that I was given. And, but, you know, God is faithful. And I continue to believe him. I continue to believe his word. I continue to believe that he will, you know, heal me of all of these things. And I just keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on. And I just know that he will do what the word of God said that he will do. And I just keep, so I just keep on keeping on. Going to pray and close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our hearts, that we would honestly get this word in our hearts, and that it would be useful for us, and that, you know, that we would put it to use in our hearts, and that we would be those who not only heard this word, but that we would, and not just be those that heard it only. And I also pray, Lord God, that you just go before us and keep us safe. Speak Psalm 91 over us. That I pray that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drunk or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, fire, flood, or crash, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us, because we can live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Rip, wow, what a great show.
You did amazing, bud.
Oh, Blog Talk Radio and the episode visit.